జయం శ్రీపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయ చరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత గోస్వామి హరశీల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం నితీలా ప్రవిష్ట ఓం శ్రీపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి అనందగోడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోపగోవినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాగుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామికి మాయపూర్ ధామికి మధురపురి ధామికి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామికి ద్వారకాపురి ధామికి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి Oh Premanandi, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga, all glories to Shri Prabhupada. నమో మిషపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూదలే శ్రీమతి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిని దినామినే నమస్తే సరస్వదేవం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయ చక్షురుణ్మీలితాం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టం సాబితాం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపకదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం వందేహం శ్రీగరు శ్రీయుధాపదకమలం శ్రీగరుం వైష్ణవాంశ్చం శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణరఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనాసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపదాం సహగణలలితాం శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ నమోం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రసాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినితి నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి నమోం విష్ణుపదాయ హాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతీది నామినే శ్రీవర్షభానువి దేవి దైదాయ కృపాబ్ధయి కృష్ణ సంబంధ విజ్ఞానం హైదే ప్రభవే నమః మాధుర్యోజ్వల ప్రేమాద్య శ్రీరూపానుగ భక్తిద శ్రీగౌరకరుణాశక్తి విగ్రహాయ నమోస్తుతే నమస్తే గౌరవాణి శ్రీ మూర్తయే దీనతారిణే రూపానుగ విరుద్ధావ సిద్ధాంతద్వందహారిణే నమో గౌరకిశోరాయ సాక్షాద్ వైరాగ్యమూర్తయే విప్రలంబర సాంబోధే పాదాంబుజాయదే నమః నమో భక్తి వినోదాయ సచ్చిదానందనామిని గౌరశక్తిస్వరూపాయ రూపనూగవరాయదే గౌరావిర్భవ భూమేస్త్వం నిర్దోష్టా సజ్జనప్రియాః వైష్ణవా సర్వభౌమ శ్రీ జగన్నాథాయదే నమః వాంఛకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్యేవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః నమో మహావదన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయదే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామ్నే గౌరత్విషే నమః పంచతత్వాత్మకం కృష్ణం భక్తరూపస్వరూపకం భక్తావతారం భక్తాఖ్యం నమామి భక్తశాత్వికం హే కృష్ణ కరుణాసింధో దీనబంధో జగల్పదే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంద రాధాకాంద నమోస్తుతే జయతాం సురదౌపాంగుర్మమ మందమదీర్ఘది మత్సర్వస్వపదాంబోజౌ రాధా మదనమోహనౌ దివ్యవృందారణ్య కల్పద్రుమాద శ్రీమద్రత్నాకర సింహాసనస్థౌ శ్రీమద్రాధాశీల గోవిందదేవౌ ప్రేష్టాళిభిః సేవ్యమానౌ స్మరామి శ్రీమన్రాసరసారంభి వంశీ వటతటస్థిత కర్షాన్ వేణుస్వనేర్గోపిర్గోపినాథాశ్రయస్తునాహం తప్తకాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుదే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరే ప్రియే శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభో నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త వృంద
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So, till last Saturday, we discussed the Ishobanishad, isn't it? Ishobanishad, the first verse. As I mentioned before, that the remaining verses are nothing but an expansion of the first verse. The first verse is the key verse in the Ishobanishad. That is, Ishavasamidam sarvam yatkinja jagatyam jagat tena tektvena bunchida maghrada kasya siddhanam. If you have understood that verse well, then you will see very easy to go through the remaining verses, which we will discuss some other time when we get a little finish with this Bhakti Sutra. So, we will go back to Narada Bhakti Sutram, which we stopped some time ago, about 12-14 weeks back, we stopped Narada Bhakti Sutram, isn't it? So, here, we were talking about, in Narada Bhakti Sutram, we spoke about this important thing, that how important it is, those who have even realized the truth, for them to follow the instructions of the Shastram. They are not allowed to break away from the Shastram. That is what Narada Maharshi said. Logo bithava deva bhojanadi vyaparastu a sharira dharana avadhi. It was the 14th sutram. 14th sutram, that's what we have discussed before. And we saw there that even the realized personalities, they should also follow the rules of this world, as long as they have a material body. They have a material body. After saying that, now Sri Narada Maharshi talks about something different. Narada Maharshi is saying there that the Narada Maharshi is saying that talakshanani vachyande nana madabhedad. What he is going to say now, bhakti is a very interesting topic, isn't it? Many of us trying to understand what is bhakti. All of us have this question. And bhakti is a topic that has been discussed by all the great acharyas also. They have also discussed bhakti. And different sages have come with different conclusions on bhakti. For example, Vedavyasa Maharshi has his own view on bhakti. His father, Parashara Maharshi, he has his opinion on bhakti. Then Srinarada Maharshi has his own opinion on bhakti. And Shandilya Maharshi, who was also a great personality like others, sages, one of the great sages. Who is Shandilya Maharshi, if you know? If you read Bhagavatam, you will see. When Garga Maharshi came to give name to Krishna and Balaram, at that time, Garga Maharshi told Nanda Maharaj that actually Shandilya Maharshi should have done the name giving ceremony to Krishna and Balaram. Shandilya Maharshi should have done that, because in the family of Nanda Maharaj, it was Shandilya Maharshi who has done that, whereas Garga Maharshi has done it for Vasudev and their families. That was the system at that time. So that Shandilya Maharshi has also given an opinion on bhakti. So what Narada Maharshi is going to say now is that those three great sages, Shandilya Maharshi, Parashara Maharshi and Vedavyasa Maharshi, their opinion on bhakti, and finally Narada Maharshi's opinion on bhakti. The four different views on bhakti you can see here from the Bhakti Sutra. It is important because bhakti is not a closed path. It's not a closed path. How each devotee relates with Krishna is different. And what attracts him to Krishna in serving Krishna, on relating with Krishna, is also in different ways. We are now talking about the rasas now. Shandam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Vatsalyam, Madhuryam, they are the rasas. That is the relationship of the way we relate with Krishna in a particular mood. That is the rasa behind it. That rasam is different. Here, what is bhakti? They are discussing. All of them are discussing what is bhakti. Bhakti is a very complicated subject. Jnanam we know. It is easy to understand what is jnanam means. Jnanam means knowledge of the soul, self-realization. That is self-realization is the soul of the jnanam. Karmam we understand. All our activities with the body, mind, everything. Karma yogam it becomes if it is done without ownership and doership and enjoyership. And without ragadvesham if it is executed it is karma yogam. But then the question is coming, what is bhakti then? Bhakti is a topic like that which requires a lot of lot of understanding about bhakti. So that is why Sridharta Maharshi now moves on to this interesting topic about bhakti. To tell us how Vedavyasa Maharshi saw bhakti, how Parashara Maharshi saw bhakti. Parashara Maharshi was Vedavyasa's father. How he saw bhakti. How Shandilya Maharshi saw bhakti and how Narada Maharshi himself sees bhakti. This is what he is going to say now. He says here that bhakti takes us into what is known as adhyalpika anubhuti. Anubhuti means spiritual experiences, spiritual realizations. Takes us to, but at the same time, every one of them, their realizations are different. They are all having different realizations. But for the benefit of the disciples or the Shishya Parampara, they have to explain that for them in a particular way to take them through. So this description of bhakti, what they have experienced in their words, it's necessary. Why? Because description is necessary for the intelligence to understand. Yeah? Description is necessary for the intelligence to understand. But the experience is beyond your intelligence. You see that? In spiritual life, you can describe so many things. This is bhakti in several ways. You can explain that. Why is that explained for? For our intelligence to accept it, to understand it. To some length, we will understand it. But experience, you cannot explain that, can you? What you have experienced only you know. Okay, suppose you have somebody has prepared first class sweet rice and you had sweet rice. You can explain that to somebody. Sweet rice is very tasty. It is so nice. Everything you can say about the sweet rice. But you cannot transfer your experience to that person. Can you? You can't do that. He has to take sweet rice and enjoy himself. Only then he will know the sweet rice, what sweet rice is all about. Isn't it? So similarly, in bhakti is like that. Bhakti you can explain to somebody what it is in your own ways. For example, you have got Nectar Devotion, Narada Bhakti Sutram, so many books are there. But what Rupa Goswami has experienced, all the Goswamis, their experience of that bhakti, that we cannot know. Isn't it? You know what I'm saying? That you can understand what they are saying. They will tell you the rules and regulations, what you have to follow, how they had related with Krishna and Radharani and so many other things. They explain in their different literature what they have written. Ujjala Nilamani, Vidagdha Madhavam, Radha Madhav, so many books they wrote. They're all bhakti literature. Similarly, we have so many bhakti literature. Srimad Bhagavatam itself is a literature on bhakti. But in spite of all that, we still won't understand what is bhakti. Because bhakti is an experience. And that experience, Krishna is saying here, is how can you explain that experience of what you are experiencing in bhakti? How could you explain that to somebody else? So, only by external symptoms and remembrance, you can do a lot, but that will all be incomplete. That will all be incomplete. Because everyone's spiritual background, culture, education, intelligence, power of observations, and capacity to explain things, all will be different from one person to another. One person to another, it will be different. All these things will be different. Intellectual capacity will be different. And also the ability to explain things will be different. And their spiritual background will be different.
all their samskaram will also be, culture will be different, education will be different. So, from the same experience on bhakti, when it comes through four different people, it will come in four different ways. Bhakti is the same, but when it is experienced by people, according to their background, it will be different. Like Parashara Maharshi is Vedavyasa Maharshi's father. He wrote Vishnu Puranam, isn't it? He wrote Vishnu Puranam. Parashara, Vedavyasa Maharshi wrote Srimad Bhagavatam. There is a big difference between Vishnu Puranam and Srimad Bhagavatam. Although they are both, where Vishnu is accepted the absolute truth in Vishnu Puranam, Krishna is accepted as the absolute truth in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Although father wrote Vishnu Puranam and son wrote, Vedavyasa Maharshi wrote Bhagavatam, that difference comes through. So their experiences, when they write their literature, that will also be different. So, just like, if you see the sun planet, a scientist will explain the sun planet in one way. A blind person will explain it in one way. An ignorant man who is not a scientist, in a sense that who just sees the sun every morning, he will explain it in another way. So everybody will explain the same thing in a different way. So it will depend on the person's background in which he is explaining. So therefore, this difference of opinion about bhakti is unavoidable. one who is generally to say, one who is intellectually very sharp and who has a lud medha shakti. Medha shakti means ability to see things which are very subtle. Very quickly they can catch. That is called medha shakti. That means if something spoken from a spiritual topic, when something is spoken, able to capture the subtlety of that in a quick way, that is medha shakti. That's called medha shakti. So those who have got medha shakti, he will see spiritual life in the form of knowledge, because he is in that way inclined. And those who have always looking for emotional happiness, and also loving relationship with God, or who has that nature, emotional nature, they will see bhakti process acceptable to them. And one who is very much mind is absorbed in karma, he will see it through the seva form. There itself difference has already happened between people. One who is very attracted to work, likes to work all the time, and who wants to engage the body, mind, everything in activities, for him seva or service to Krishna will be more attractive, very much absorbed in the seva side of it. Those who are very much absorbed in the loving relationship, who has very emotional or who has feeling for other living entities and Krishna and Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's associates, they will find attracted towards bhakti. And those who are intellectually inclined or who are sharp in their thoughts and who can understand the subtleties of Krishna consciousness, they will get attracted to the knowledge part of it. This is generally, it is based on this. Later on, Krishna says that in the Bhagavatam also. So, the nine processes you know in the Bhagavatam, Prahlada talks about, isn't it? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnor, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atmanivedanam. Nine processes he discusses in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? Out of these nine processes, they are nine sadhanas actually. They are different, nine sadhanas. You can take either one or two, or you can take all the nine, or even with one, you can reach the goal. This is Prahlada's opinion about it. So, there are so many stories in the Srimad Bhagavatam, those who have taken one or those who have taken all of it in their life, in the spiritual path. In the Bhagavatam, particularly, Shri Krishna Shravane Parikshit Bhavad Vyasatmaja Kirtane. So, Parikshit Maharaj reached the destination by Shravanam. Isn't it? Parikshit Maharaj reached the destination by Shravanam. Just by hearing, he got there. He realized the truth. You will see that in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Sukadeva Goswami reached the destination by glorification, kirtanam. Kirtanam doesn't mean only singing songs. Kirtanam means glorification of Krishna. That is kirtanam. If you glorify Krishna in any way, either through songs or great acharyas' songs, what they have written, or Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, that's all kirtanam, glorification of Krishna. So, Shri Krishna Shravane Parikshit Bhavat Vyasatmaja Kirtane. Vyasatmaja is Sukadeva Goswami, through kirtanam. Prahlada Smarane Tadangri Bhajane Lakshmi Prithu Pujane. Prahlada Smarane. Prahlada was always remembering Krishna. That was Prahlada's thing. Prahlada, through the process of remembrance, he reached Krishna. Prahlada's story, if you read in the seventh canto, you will see. There was not a moment when he has forgotten Krishna. That is how he was. At Angri Bhajane Lakshmi. Lakshmi Devi always serving Krishna's lotus feet. And Pridhu Pujane. Pridhu Maharaj by worship, deity worship. Akrurastha Bhivandane Sahanuman Dasyeja Sakhe Arjunam. Akrura, what was his way of serving Krishna? Paying obeisances to him all the time. If you remember, when Akrura went to see Krishna and Balaram in Vrindavanam, Akrura traveled from Mathura by a chariot. Kamsa handed over his own chariot to Akrura to go and see Krishna, to bring them back, isn't it? So he left in the morning and arrived in the evening, because when he got into the chariot, he was in a mental chariot. He got into his mental chariot. When he got into the real chariot, he sat there and he got into his mental chariot. He forgotten to drive the chariot properly to Vrindavanam, and the horses took him somewhere else. And by the time, it took from morning, he left Mathura and he got to Vrindavanam late in the afternoon, probably 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, for a distance of 10-12 kilometers. So when he got there, Krishna and Balaram has finished their playing that day, and Yashoda Devi was trying to milk the cows. And it was at that time, Krishna and Balaram was there, the cows were there, Yashoda Devi was there. At that time, Akrura arrived there. As soon as Akrura arrived, first thing what he did, he jumped out of the chariot, paid his obeisances to Krishna and Balaram. So from that day onwards, he started paying obeisances. He hasn't stopped till he left this world, paying obeisances to Krishna and Balaram. That was his relationship. Although Akrura is a much older person, and related to them also, but still Akrura always saw Krishna and Balaram in that way. So Akurastha Bhivandane Sahanuman Dasyeja Sakhe Arjuna. Hanuman's relationship with Ramachandra was Sakhyam. Hanuman's relationship was Dasyam. Dasya means always servant. Very proud of that. I am Ramachandra's servant. Remember, we discussed last Sunday, there are two kinds of pride in us. One pride is very dangerous. That's what most of us have. That pride, what Bhagavad Gita talks about, isn't it? In the divine and demonic nature, Krishna talks about their pride. That pride is troublesome. This pride, which is the pride of a devotee or a jnani, is different. This is also a pride that I am Ramachandra's servant. I am Ramachandra's servant. No matter what happens in this world, I am Ramachandra's servant. Always that relationship with Ramachandra. Sakhe Arjuna. Arjuna was a friendship. Devotee or friendship. Devasya Atmanivedane Balira Abhut Sarvasva Dada Pura. Mahabali has beaten all of them. Why? Atmanivedanam. The finest surrender in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Mahabali. Nobody could surrender like the way Mahabali did. His own spiritual master tells him, don't surrender to him. Mahabali says, if I don't surrender, what's the use of my life in this world? I have acquired all this wealth and the personality has come asking for it. If I don't give it, who else should I give it? Saying that he is an Atmanivedanam, finest example is Mahabali, isn't it? So they all have different relationship with Krishna. You can see from that. They all thought about Krishna in different ways and they all had different kind of relationship with Krishna. Like Parishad liked to always hear about Krishna. Sudeva Goswami always liked to talk about Krishna. Hanuman always wants to declare to the whole world, I am Ramachandra's servant. Nothing else he wants. That recognition he wants from everybody. Everybody should accept that from him. And Mahabali wants to hand over whatever he has, including himself, he wants to hand over to Krishna. That kind of surrender. And Akrura wanted to play obeisances all the time. Prahlada wanted to remember Krishna all the time. So from different processes you can see that all these nine different processes of devotional service, you can see there 9 different opinions will come from those devotees also in their relationship with Krishna. Now, Parashara Maharshi, Vedavyasa Maharshi's opinion, here Sridharada Maharshi is going to say, he says, Pujadi Shaniraga iti Parashariha. Parashariya is Parashara Maharshi. He says here, Pujadi Shaniraga iti Parashariya. That means someone who is fond of deity worship all the time. Puja. One who has an attachment like that is bhakti, says Vedavyasa Maharshi. Parashara's son, Parasharya is Vedavyas. Vedavyas is saying, Pujadi Shaniraga iti Parashariha. Vedavyasa Maharshi's opinion is that if you are absorbed in deity worship all the time, or if you love deity worship, always performing puja, deity worship, then you have to understand that his bhakti is proper bhakti. So, before Narada Maharshi gives his opinion about him, he quotes Vedavyasa Maharshi, Garga Maharshi and Shandilya Maharshi and their opinion. And depending on their body, their words, their mind, it will represent their opinion about it, on these things. So, in the Bhagavadam, you will see, when Ekadasha Skandam was spoken in the Srimad Bhagavadam, 27th chapter in the 11th canto is Kriya Yoga. Because a question was raised by Uddhava to Krishna, can you explain to me the process of Kriya Yoga? He says, Kriya Yoga means process of deity worship. That is Kriya Yoga. So there's one whole chapter in reference to Kriya Yoga discussed there in the Bhagavadam. And in that chapter, it talks about 3 different processes. Vaidigam, Tandriyam, Mishram. There is a Vaidigam process which is based on Mandram, which is Tandriya process which is based on Tandram, and there is a mixture of both. All these 3 different processes have been in practice for thousands of years in different places, in different temples. All these 3 processes. And there were great authorities on this topic, in this Vaidya process, Tandriya process, as well as this mixed process. So great. There's a lot of literature also corresponding to this processes, these 3 processes. Practically, that kind of worship they have observed those days in the past, and due to the change in the circumstances and the times we live today, those things have become pretty difficult, very difficult to follow that rules and regulations what they have incorporated in that process of deity worship. So Uddhava asked Krishna, edad vadandi munayo muhur nishreyasam nranam Narado Bhagavan Vyasa Acharyo Angiras Sutaham. That this Kriya Yoga or this process of deity worship can take a person for liberation, and Narada Maharshi, Vedavyasa Maharshi and Angiras son Brihaspati, they all say like that. You can see why. Narada Maharshi wrote a specific book on deity worship, isn't it? Which is called Panjaratriya Vidhi. Pancharatram is nothing but Narada Maharshi's authorized book on deity worship. That's why it's called Pancharatriya Vidhi. And then there is a book written by Brihaspati as well as Angiras Maharshi also. They are all authorities on the deity worship. They have spoken about that. Of course, they were great sages who lived many, many thousands of years ago. Since then, many other people who have followed their instructions and perfected their deity worship. And many of the big temples also, they have followed them to quite a large extent. And they had that tradition in many, many temples they followed. And at that time, Krishna says to Uddhava, evam kriya yoga badhai puman vaidya tandrigai archan nubhayada siddhim matto vindatyabhid siddham. Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, if you follow either Vedic system, Vaidigam, or if you follow the Tantriya system, doesn't matter. If you do either of this process, it will bring you immense benefit here as well as in your next life. So, and Krishna also said at that point, Pratishtaya sarva bhaumam sadmana bhuvanatrayam pujadina brahma logam tribhir mat samyadam yad mameva nairavekshena bhakti yogena vindadi bhakti yogam salabhade evam ya pujayetamam. In that chapter of Kriya Yogam in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna says that those who are involved in installing the deities in the temples, and if those who construct the temples, and what will happen to them? What will happen to them? Krishna is saying that those who worship me through temple construction, temple work, renovation, things like that, they will after death, they have to go to a higher place. And by deity worship, they can even reach Brahmalokam. Brahmalokam also. And there, Krishna also mentions very clearly, if you worship worship me, Krishna says, if you worship me without expectation of any results, they will come back to me. So, one who follows this Kriya Yogam process, he will eventually come to Bhakti Yogam. That's what it means. If you follow the Kriya Yogam process properly, based on some authority, there are authoritative literature available on all the deity worship process. In all the temples, they have authorized process of worshipping the deity. And if you follow them strictly and worship the deity, eventually, that is Kriya Yogam. That Kriya Yogam will develop into bhakti. Will develop into bhakti. So, but here you can see Pujadi Anuraga Idi Parashariha. Here he used the word Anuragam. Anuragam means he already have a spontaneous attachment for Krishna. Only then deity worship will go very well. You have to have some attachment towards Krishna. Then the deity worship will happen nicely. Otherwise, if it becomes simply mechanical process, then that deity worship will not be very rewarding. In other words, rewarding in the sense, for developing bhakti, it will be very difficult in that. Because many times, people devote deity worship on a mechanical level, isn't it? Not based on the proper understanding of the process of deity worship. So, so deity worship, construction of temples, installing the deities, this is important as far as Vedavyasa Maharshi is concerned. This is Vedavyasa Maharshi's opinion, not everybody else. Then, Garga Maharshi, Gargamuni, who gave Krishna and Balaram, who did the name-giving ceremony for Krishna and Balaram. What's his opinion? Garga Maharshi says, Kathadi Shvidi Gargaha. Garga Maharshi says, those who are interested in hearing about Krishna's pastimes, those who are interested in hearing about Krishna's pastimes, that is the symptom of bhakti. That is Garga Maharshi's opinion. Garga Maharshi gives importance of hearing about Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and various other literature in reference to Krishna and pastimes. So, Bhagavad Katha Kirtanam Shravanam, all these hearing and glorification is important and they are very dear to devotees. So, that is why Krishna mentioned in the Bhagavatam, if you will see there, Shrunodam Sakatha Krishna Punya Shravana Girtanam Hridyandasto Hiyabhadrani Vidhanodi Suhural Sadam. Srimad Bhagavatam, when it began, although Vedavyasa Maharshi wrote Srimad Bhagavatam, it's not that he only said deity worship is the process. Vedavyasa Maharshi also knows about it, that there are other processes through which one can develop bhakti. So what he said in the first canto itself, he says, Shrunodam Sakatha Krishna, always hear about Krishna. Punya Shravana Kirtanam, one who has to be glorified all the time. Very auspicious to hear and glorify. Hridyandastohi Abhadrani, all the inauspicious things inside the heart, vidunodi suhral sadam, is always immediately taken out by the hearing about Krishna, by hearing about Krishna. And that Sudha Goswami says there in the Bhagavatam in the beginning itself, while talking about hearing process.
Shrinagamsa kadha Krishna punyashravana kirtanam hridyandastohi avadrani vidunodi suhrit sadam.
Because inside Krishna is present as our eternal permanent friendship, permanent well-wisher is sitting inside the heart. Then in another place in the Bhagavatam, this was in the first canto. If you go into 11th canto, in the third chapter, Bhagavad Dharmam was discussed, isn't it? Bhagavad Dharmam was discussed between Nimi and Janaka. Navayogis, yes. Navayogi. Out of that, Hari Maharshi talked about bhakti. What did he say?
Parasparanukathanam pavanam bhagavad yashal mithor adarmidatushtir nivirtiramidhamal manaha.
He says here, Parasparanukathanam pavanam bhagavad yashas. Continuously, devotees wants to talk about Krishna. Parasparanukathanam, mutually, they want to discuss about Krishna. Why? So, but because Krishna's glories, that when they talk to each other, both of them gets pleased. Both who are talking to each other about Krishna, both of them feel great pleasure from that. And that will naturally lead them to free themselves from sense enjoyment, So, Prabuddha Maharshi has spoken this.
Parasparanukathanam pavanam bhagavad yashas. Midho radhir midastushtir nivrittir midham almana.
Though when they asked Bhagavad Dharmam Bhaktalakshanam, these things are there, the nine questions what King Nimi has raised in front of the Navayogis, and you can see Kavi, Hari, Andariksha, Prabuddha. Prabuddha answered that question. When did he answer? The question was this. What is Bhagavata Dharma? First question. Kavi Maharshi answered that. What is a symptom of a devotee? Hari Maharshi answered that. Isn't it? Hari Maharshi answered that. Then the question came, what is Maya? What is Maya? So, that was answered by Andariksha. Then the question came, how to cross over Maya? It was then Prabuddha answered that question. So, it's Prabuddha who is answering this. The word Prabuddha means one who has crossed Maya. Prabuddha, one who has woken up. We are under the influence of Maya. When we are woken up from Maya, we can see Maya, what Maya is, and know the influence of Maya, then we are Prabuddhas, one who have come out of Maya, Prabuddha. So that's the word, given to him, Prabuddha, one who is out of Maya. So Prabuddha says this to Nimi,
Parasparanukathanam pavanam bhagavad yashas. Mithoradir mithastushtir nivrittir mitham almana.
In other words, they like to talk about devotees who are in that state of Krishna consciousness. All they are interested is talking about Krishna. And mithoradir mithastushti, there is rati, attachment towards that. And also, at the same time, they feel immense happiness inside because they escape from the desires or sense enjoyment. And they will completely get released from that. So, in this process, hearing process, you have to include the chanting the holy name also. Japam is included. Anything is included when your ears are absorbed in that. Chanting the holy name, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, participating in a kirtanam, they are all in the same category. That is what Garga Maharshi is saying here. Kathadi Shidi Gargaha. That's all Garga Maharshi has to say. Garga Maharshi says, Kathadi Shidi Gargaha. Katha includes all these things. Chanting the holy name, kirtanam, as well as Srimad Bhagavatam, Sankirtanam, everything is included. So, and Garga Muni performed the giving the name to Krishna and Balaram. Isn't it? That you know in the Srimad Bhagavatam, he performed that. Then after saying that, so we have seen the opinion of Vedavyasa Maharshi, we have seen the opinion of Garga Maharshi.
Now, the third opinion from Shandilya Maharshi. Let's see what he says. Atmarethi avirodhenethi Shandilyaha. That is Shandilya Maharshi's opinion. Shandilya Maharshi is saying here that one who has experiencing the blissful nature of the soul and absorbed in the constant analysis of the soul and its blissful nature, Atma Anandam, that person is Shandilya Maharshi, he has got bhakti. He has got bhakti. And this is mentioned in the Bhagavatam also. So Sarubha Nunnasandhanam Bhaktiritya Vidhiyade. When you are searching for realizing your own identity, who you are, and trying to understand your Sarubham, that person is bhakti. That is bhakti. So Sarubha Nunnasandhanam Bhaktiritya Vidhiyade. It is called bhakti. That is why I am saying bhakti we have to understand from the opinion of the great personalities. Because every one of them has something to say. Shandilya Maharshi's opinion is Sasvarupa Anusandhanam Bhaktiritya Vidhiyade. If you are encouraging, if you are constantly, intensely pursuing to understand who you are, or self-realization, in other words, you are in the state of bhakti. You are a devotee. Otherwise, you are not a devotee. Devotee's qualification, Shandilya is concerned. If you are intensely searching to realize the truth, to realize the self, who you are, then you are a devotee. That's how he calls it. So, everything what you do in the spiritual life should be only with the understanding for self-realization as the goal. In the Bhagavadam, if you look in another place, in second canto, you will see, while talking about liberation, Mukti also says like this, Mukti tek tanyadharupam sarubena vyavasthiti. That Mukti, we talk about it. What is Mukti? Liberation. Liberation means anyadharupam sarubena vyavasthiti. Today we have body, material body, and at different lifetimes we have different material bodies. Giving up all material bodies and going back to your spiritual identity as you are is called Mukti. Mukti tektu anyadharupam, all anyadharupam. Anyadharupam means like our identification with this body. And in this body we identify with so many other hundreds of things, isn't it? I am Indian, I am American, I am European, I am this, I am that. I am white, I am black. Like this, various identities. That is all coming from the bodily identity. So Mukti means tektva anyadharupam, all other different imposed first identities on us. They are all imposed on us. They are not our identity. And that is given up completely. Mukti tektva anyadharupam, and you are situated in your swarupam as your pure identity of the soul, swarupana vyavasthiti, that is Mukti. So here Shandilya Maharshi's opinion is also similar to that. So, but Shandilya Maharshi is not unhappy with Garga Maharshi or Vedavyasa Maharshi for what they have said about that. But his opinion is that all that deity worship what you do, all that your hearing, chanting and everything should be with this goal in mind, to free yourself from the bodily identity. That is the opinion of Shandilya Maharshi. So you can see, ultimately they all agree with one thing, that how to free yourself from this cage of material body at the end. So, while Krishna was talking to Uddhava in the Bhagavadam, you will see that Krishna is talking a lot about Salsangam there, isn't it? Salsangam is given a lot of importance in the Bhagavadam. Srimad Bhagavadam is centered around Salsangam. You can see there. And there he says about the gopi's love for Krishna. Krishna says there, Tana vidan may anushangabadhya samalpmanamatastadedam yatha samatho manayo abdhidhoye sadhya pravishta ivaname rupeyam. In the Salsangam was discussed. Krishna spoke about various devotees who have come back to him through Salsangam. And while talking about gopis, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, these devotees in Vrindavanam, they are a special category. They didn't study any shastram or anything. They didn't do any austerities. They didn't do any penances. They simply offered everything to me and got attracted to me. Tana vidan, because their mind was completely absorbed in me, therefore, even great yogis or great sages, they meditate on Krishna. They meditate on Krishna. And while in meditation, they forget about this world this world and life after death, everything happens to these great sages. It was a similar situation with the gopis. Gopis have completely forgotten everything in their life. They've forgotten their relationship with the family members, which we can see in the Bhagavatam in several places, particularly when they come for the rasa dance, their mind was so attached to Krishna that they didn't care anything for the family members, neither the parents. They had their husbands at home, children at home. They have completely forgotten all of that. And they went to Krishna. Krishna is saying that is the kind of relationship they had. And exactly like when the river goes and joins the sea, the ocean, the river loses its identity, isn't it? River loses its identity. It loses its name also. Its name, its form, everything it loses. Similarly, gopis also, when they reached Krishna, when they got close to Krishna, they have forgotten themselves and all other dharma in this world. In the Bhagavatam, that is spoken at quite lengthly. Why? Because Krishna is saying at one point that you were able to give up for them at that time. You can imagine in the society how things were very rigid, isn't it? And gopis have completely forgotten that they had to follow the social etiquette at that time. What was followed in the society, they have given up that. And they have surrendered, come to Krishna. So Krishna talks to them about dharmam at that time. You will see in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So even that stage, that has happened only because gopis were in the spiritual state. They were not on a material bodily identity. Krishna has rewarded them with that self-realization to that extent that they were able to forget their connection with this world, with the family members and everything. So, they also were experiencing the blissful nature of the soul even when they were in association with Krishna. That is what Narada Maharshi says here. And then there is another example mentioned here that Shandilya Maharshi's opinion, this is Idihasam imam punyam Shandilyopi Munishwaraha Patade Chitrakodasto Brahmananda Paripludaha. He says here, Gokarnam, if you know the story of Dundugari in the Tungabhadra River bank, there was a Brahmana called Atmanivedana who lived there. This story is mentioned in the Padmapuranam about while glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavata Mahalpyam it's called, the glorification of Srimad Bhagavatam. In there it says that the this one particular Brahmana, Atmadeva, who lived there, his name, he had his wife, Dundugari. They had no children. And Atmadeva got very frustrated in life. They had a lot of wealth, but ultimately Atmadeva thought, what should I do in this life? What is the purpose of living like this? And one day he meets a sannyasi on the riverbank when he went to bathe there. So after bathing, he went and approached this sannyasi and told sannyasi his situation. And he requested the sannyasi that he should bless him to have a child. So sannyasi tried to tell him that why you want to entangle yourself in this world with children, grandchildren and all that. In that process you are going to lose everything, that your spiritual life is going to suffer. But Brahmana was very particular about having a son, having a child. So he insisted, and eventually sannyasi hands over a fruit to this Atmadeva Brahmana. He brings it home. Sannyasi told him, you give this to your wife and she will in due course become pregnant, everything. But unfortunately his wife was not very interested in having children. She thought that if I get pregnant, I lose my beauty. I won't be any more attractive in this world. People's mind goes in different ways, isn't it? It's very difficult to say how everybody will think in this world. So she decided not to have the fruit. But she didn't want to tell the husband that she's not going to have the fruit. What she did was she passed on that fruit to the cow, which was in the cow shed. And a child was born from the cow, which is called Gokarnan, and he had ears like a cow, but everything else was like a human body. So that Gokarnan, this is a long story, so we'll go not discuss too much. And even that Gokarnan, the son born from the cow, is called Gokarnan because his ears were like a cow. The cow delivered this child Gokarnan. Naturally, Atmadeva was waiting when his wife is going to have the baby. So after a while, the wife felt that the husband is going to question her. So what she did was, she had a sister living not far away from there who was pregnant. So she made an arrangement with her sister, and that sister was not very rich. They were very poor. So this lady, Atmadeva's wife, she told her sister that when your child is born, bring her to me, bring the child to me. I'll look after the child and I'll maintain the child as my own child. Till then, she kept a big belly and wandered around in that way to convince her husband. And when the child was born, Atmadeva was not there. So the child was brought into the house, and since then she was looking after this child. But somehow or the other, what happened was, this child who came was really a character, real curse for the whole family. Was engaged in all kinds of nonsense and completely, absolutely no interest at all in spiritual life. What to talk about spiritual life? He was more interested in creating as much trouble as possible to the parents and to the family and to everybody. When it became unbearable, one night, Atmadeva remembered the words of the sannyasi, why should I get into householder life? If this is the result, what I have to live with? So one middle of the night, Atmadeva walked out from the house. He walked out from the house, never came back. I had enough of this householder life, a big salute, and walked out from the home. Never came back again after that. So that is a similar story you'll find in the Srimad Bhagavatam also, isn't it? That when Vena was born, Vena's father, he sings a song there while he was going away from the householder life. He walks out and he sings a song at that time. All glories to householder life, he says, while leaving home. So that is how it is, this world. It is not to criticize family life, but you can expect all this in the family life. That's all it is saying. All these kind of problems. You will think something, you will do so many things in household life, but the results may not be what you thought about it. It could be completely opposite. Results will come and then we are puzzled about it, isn't it? So, anyway, he says here, Itihasam imam punyam shandilyobhi manishwaraha. This Gokarna, who born from the cow, he was a devotee. Because the fruit has gone to the cow, sannyasi has given the fruit with good intention. So the child was born, he was a devotee. Gokarna was a devotee. His stepbrother, who was born from this lady's sister, Dundugari was her name, and this child who was born from that sister, he was a real demon. So he used to create all sorts of problems for everybody, giving trouble to any and everyone. Ultimately, he had some illicit relationship with some prostitutes, and they all together decided to kill him. And one instance, they got together and they managed to kill him and put him in a well, and he died in that. But because he died a death in that way, the soul became a ghost. It's a ghostly body. It didn't have a proper life after that. So the ghost never got any freedom, and the ghost used to wander around in the same house giving problems to others. So it was then that Gokarna, in the meanwhile, what he did, he went on a pilgrimage to all other places. When he came back, he heard the story that this is all what has happened. So he felt compassion for this brother who had fell into this situation, and he inquired what he should do to get himself released from this state. Because once you get into a ghost body, to get back a proper life again is very, very difficult, unless there is some mercy from some higher level comes. It is not possible to come out of that. You can see like Brahmarakshasa and so many other ghostly existence is spoken like that. So anyway, Gokarna decided to perform, to read Srimad Bhagavatam for him. And that is how the second time, after you will see, Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken by, first time Parikshit heard from Sudeva Goswami. 200 years later, again Sudha Goswami spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to Shaunaka Rishi and others in Naimisharanyam. First time it was spoken in Shukasthali, which is near Haridwar. That's where Delhi to Haridwar, when you go, when you travel, it's on the way. That place is Shukasthali. Shukasthali it's called. Where Sukadeva Goswami spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit. 200 years later, Srimad Bhagavatam was again spoken by Sudha Goswami. Second time it was spoken by Gokarna. Gokarna spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to this ghost. And ghost heard, and that happened in Haridwar, where Sri Narada Maharshi was present, all the four Kumaras were present, Krishna arrived there, Uddhava, Prahlada, and everybody came there to hear that Srimad Bhagavatam. Second time when it was spoken there. Later on you find, third time you again hear Srimad Bhagavatam spoke by Sudha Goswami in Naimisharanyam, which is near Lucknow at the moment. So Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken in these three different occasions, at three different times. So the second one, which was spoken in Haridwar, this happened in Haridwar, where Uddhava and Prahlada, Krishna himself comes at the end of that. It is in the Padmapurana mentions there. And they all arrived there. And that Bhagavatam was heard by Shandilya Maharshi. Shandilya Maharshi heard Srimad Bhagavatam there. And he lives in Chitragudam there and still reads Srimad Bhagavatam there. In Chitragudam. So, many things mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, with our gross eyes, it is difficult to verify. It is very difficult to verify. Like in the Bhagavatam, if you look into the ninth canto, it says there that this Surya Vamsham and Chandra Vamsham, solar dynasty and lunar dynasty, after this Kaliyugam, it has to restart again. And those two kings who are responsible for these two dynasties, they are performing their penances in the Himalayas. Still, they are performing their penances in the Himalayas. They have to come back and restart this solar dynasty and lunar dynasty again in the next Chaturyugam. So, those things are difficult to verify. Bhagavatam's authority, we have to accept it. There is no other way. So, here, he says here, So, Shandilya Maharshi reads Srimad Bhagavatam. But while Shandilya Maharshi reads Bhagavatam, he is absorbed in the reality of the soul. He gives importance to that. Particularly, the part in Srimad Bhagavatam related to the description of the soul and self-realization. That is what he enjoys in the Bhagavatam. So, whatever happens, Shandilya Maharshi's opinion is, whether you are doing deity worship or whether you are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, the self-realization should not get disturbed. It should carry on at the same time. That means only while situated on the platform of the soul, you should hear Srimad Bhagavatam. That is his opinion. Shandilya Maharshi's opinion is like that. He gives so much importance that self-realization and Srimad Bhagavatam are connected closely. Then after that, we will see what Sri Narada Maharshi says about this. Naradastu tadarpida akhilacharada acharada tad vismarane paramavyakulatetica. This is Sri Narada Maharshi's opinion. Narada Maharshi is saying there that Naradastu, Narada Maharshi's opinion is tadarpida akhilacharada. So, we have come to this material world, we have karma vasanas in us, different desires and more different motivations to work in this world with our body, mind, intelligence, everything. If you offer everything to Krishna, this is Narada Maharshi's opinion, your mind, your body, your intelligence, everything, and offer all your functions in this world with mind, body, senses, everything to Krishna, and if you forget Krishna for a second, if you feel unbearable pain inside, that is bhakti. This is Narada Maharshi's explanation. Because this is important. Because this Narada Maharshi statement is the one which is expanded into Bhagavata Dharma. Isn't it? Bhagavata Dharma is this. That 24 hours in Krishna service. 24 hours absorbed in Krishna. If you forget Krishna for a second, feeling tremendous unhappiness inside. Tremendous unhappiness, not being able to serve Krishna. in some way or the other, always connected with Krishna. This is Sri Narada Maharshi's conclusion. So he says here, Naradastu tad arpida agila acharada tad vismarane parama vyagula dedicha. Then every time agila acharada, then Narada Maharshi is saying, if everything you are able to serve Krishna all the time, you are happy. The moment you forget Krishna and unable to serve Krishna, you are extremely miserable. In that state, that is the Narada Maharshi's definition on bhakti. The previous Acharya, for example, Shandilya Maharshi, Garga Maharshi, and Vedavyasa Maharshi, and from there is a slight difference here that Naradastu tadarpila adarpidam agila acharada tad vismarane parma vyagulate dicha. So, then Sri Narada Maharshi says there that deity worship, reading Srimal Bhagavatam, and Atmanusandhanam. Atmanusandhanam means this constant analysis of the soul inside, the process of self-realization. In addition to that, all our other activities, eating, sleeping, everything, if you do that for Krishna's sake, then it is bhakti. Narada Maharshi's definition is like that. Others have given us a clear definition, isn't it? Just like Vedavyasa Maharshi says, if you are always absorbed in the deity worship, in the proper deity worship as spoken in the Shastra, if you do that, then that is Vedavyasa Maharshi considers as bhakti. Garga Maharshi says, if you are completely absorbed in hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and also about Krishna Sankirtanam, chanting the holy name, all these things Garga Maharshi considers as bhakti. Garga Maharshi considers as bhakti. When you are constantly absorbed in the presence of Krishna inside as the soul and constantly analyzing inside, what is the nature, who am I, that inquiry happens inside all the time, trying to search it out, my real identity, and separating it out all the time, the body, mind, intelligence, and false ego, everything, and being situated on the platform of the soul, that is Shandilya Maharshi's bhakti. Shandilya Maharshi calls it as bhakti. After talking about all these three different sages' opinion, Sri Narada Maharshi is saying, bhakti is not all this enough, it is not sufficient. He says, in addition to that, whatever you are doing with your body, mind, intelligence, and any, all the time, if your all the service what you do in this world is for pleasing Krishna, somehow or the other, pleasing Krishna, and if unable to do so, you feel miserable in this world, that is bhakti. This is Sri Narada Maharshi's definition of bhakti. So four sages, four opinions. Four sages, four opinions. So you should not ask who is right in this. If you ask that, then there is no answer. That is how Krishna consciousness is. You can't say anything in black and white. This is the answer to that. If you like Vedavyasa Maharshi, follow Vedavyas. If you like Garga Maharshi, follow Gargamuni. If you follow Narada Maharshi, follow. If you like Narada Maharshi's words, follow Narada Maharshi. If you like Shandilya Maharshi, follow Shandilya. They all will take you to the same goal. Nothing is black and white in these things. They are all telling us, they are from their understanding and their realizations, they are telling us. And it is, we also have a responsibility. Normally what do? We say, oh, be specific about it, we will say. Isn't it? We want everything like that. And then we'll try that and it's not working. After a while we say it's not working. So that is not spiritual life. Spiritual life is, we hear everything and then we have to know what's right suits us. Krishna is also like that. Krishna spoke Karma Yogam, Krishna spoke Jnana Yogam, Krishna spoke Bhakti Yogam. And he also said in the Bhagavadam that, Uddhava, generally I can tell you these things, that a person who he has a nature of intellectually absorbing in things and wants to understand the soul in a particular way through Medha Shakti, it's called Medha Shakti, for him Jnana Yogam will suit. And he also mentions there, such a person, he will be very disgusted with this world. That is the first qualification for a jnani. He is disgusted with this world. How much, how disgusted it should be, that also he says there. that he should be so disgusted. Just like it says that Purishaval Tyajaha. That means that just like the hogs, they eat the stool in the gutters you see in Vrindavanam and all that, isn't it? They eat the stool and they drink that water from the gutter. So if you see their excretion, how you will feel disgusted inside. That kind of disgusted you are with this world, then you are qualified for Jnana Yoga. That is Krishna's opinion about it. That means one has to be so disgusted with this world that there is nothing in this world worthwhile endeavoring for. To that extent, Vairagya has come inside. It's not that you hate the world, but you realize it, there is nothing in this world worthwhile pursuing. If you have come to that realization inside, Krishna says Jnana Yoga will work for that person. In the Bhagavatam it is there, that he will be a suitable candidate for the Jnanam process. Then someone who has got so much faith in this world and wants to do all the time some kind of engagement he wants, he cannot stay away from not doing anything, completely absorbed in the work all the time. For such a, and who is also looking for results in this world, for him, Krishna says Karma Yoga will work for him. So two different people, two different processes. And in between there is a group of people, like all of us. We are not very fond of working very hard in this world. On the other hand, we want some comforts also in this life. So it is neither this nor that. For him, Krishna says Bhakti Yoga will help. So you can see, 99% people will fall into that category. Isn't it? Nyasinam ya karmasu na nirvinno nadi satto bhakti yogostu siddhida. Bhakti yogam is not for na nirvinno na adisakto. Nadisakto means one who is very attached to everything. Na nirvinno means one who is not completely detached to everything. For neither of them, bhakti yogam will suit. Bhakti yogastha siddhida. It will suit a person who is not very attached, who is not fully renounced either. Especially with reference to householder. So, that is why it mentions like that. So, then it says here, deity worship, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Atmana Santhanam, all these things is included in the bhakti. So, one who has surrendered everything to Krishna and one who has completely surrendered, like Mahabali, all his activities will be different forms of bhakti. Because such a person who has surrendered completely to Krishna, he has not false ego inside and there is no possibility of him forgetting Krishna at any moment. By chance, if he forgets Krishna, he will feel extremely miserable in this world. So this is Sri Narada Maharshi's opinion. And Shravanam Kirtanam Dhyanam Hare Albuda Karmana Janma Karma Guna Namcha Tadarte Akhila Cheshtidam Ishtam Dattam Tapo Japtam Vrittam Yachalpana Priyam Dharan Sutan Grihan Pranan Yat Parasmai Nivedanam. So Prabuddha told our King Nimi, when he asked the question how to cross over Maya. That was the question, isn't it? How to cross over Maya. So it was then that he says there that that continuously hearing about Krishna, Krishna's different pastimes, appearances and glories, and glorifying them, all this is considered to be Bhagavata Dharma. Not only that, all activities, if it is performed by Krishna's pleasure, and those of performing those penances mentioned in the Shruti and the Smriti, chanting the holy name, and in addition to that, offering all his activities for Krishna's sake, including his wife, children, house, not only that, whatever he has got, everything for Krishna's service. Tadarpi Agilacharatam, it says here, that Tadarpi Agilacharata, that word covers all these things. That is why it's so important. That Sri Narada Maharshi's process is like that. He says here, that Srimad Bhagavatam also says the same thing. What Sri Narada Maharshi says here, Tadarpit Aghilacharada, that's the same thing what in the Bhagavatam Prabuddha is saying to to whom? To King Nimi. He says here, Ishtan Daptam, Tapojaptam, Mrtamya Chalpanapriyam, Dharan, Sutan, Grihan, Pranan, Yat Parasmai Nivedanam. Wife, children, Dharan, Sudan, Grihan, one's own home, everything offered to Krishna. Give it to Krishna. Offering to Krishna means that it is for Krishna's happiness, they should be utilized, not for any other purpose, in other words. So, So, after saying this, Prabuddha says in the Bhagavadam, Prabuddha says to King Nimi, that, talking about the symptoms of a devotee, sometimes kojid rudandi, sometimes they are crying. Then kojid achudachindaya kojid hasandi, sometimes when they think about Krishna, they are laughing. They are laughing. Nandandi, vadandi, alaugigaha. That sometimes they forget the whole world and they talk something without any sense. They'll talk something. They sing, they dance. They sing, they dance. So these people who have come to that state, nrityandi, gayandi, anushilayandi, jambhavandi, tushnim, parametya nirvridaha. So, for them, separation from Krishna is unbearable. All the time they have to remember Krishna. If they any moment, a second they forget Krishna, they feel misery. They feel miserable. That's a very highly advanced state of Krishna consciousness. So, this is what Narada Maharshi talks about bhakti. Narada Maharshi speaks about bhakti in this way. That a devotee who has come to that state where he cannot even exist in this world for a second without remembering Krishna, to such an extent attached to Krishna. So, this is all the different the processes of bhakti, what has been spoken by Sri Narada Maharshi has included all that in this Bhakti Sutram, so that we understand what bhakti means. From hearing all these things, you have to accept that all these processes, what's spoken here, are all different limbs of bhakti. Different limbs of bhakti. Then there are many examples for this bhakti what Sri Narada Maharshi has spoken here in the Bhakti Sutram, isn't it? So if you look in the Bhagavadam, when Navayogis were talking about it, it says Bhakti Rulpati Vridhi, in order that bhakti to develop in a person, Tava Charana Jusham Sangame Neiva Pumsam Masadye Punya Bhajam Shriya Iva Jagadam Srimadam Sangamenaha. Then where does bhakti begins in a person? When he, from the satsangam, from the other devotees, he gets bhakti. You get bhakti from satsangam. That bhakti, Krishna says, is important. Not the bhakti what we have concocted in our own mind. Bhakte rulpati vriddhi tava charana jusham sangame naiva pumsam. That by association with other devotees, you develop bhakti. Association with other devotees, you develop bhakti. Sangame naiva pumsam masadye punya bhajam shriyaiva jagadam shrimadam sangamenaha. Through sangam, through salsangam, how you develop bhakti. That is more important. That's more important. Tul sango deva bhuyan mami bhuvanabate. That if that relationship develops with Krishna and a devotee, Tunmukha dunmishadbistunmahalme pragare bhavadija surda bhakti ruddhuda baba. If bhakti grows in that particular pattern, that means through salsangam you hear about Krishna, and through salsangam your bhakti is growing. That bhakti, Krishna says, Tunmahalme pragare sudrdija bhavada bhakti ruddhuda baba. That bhakti will get so strong at the end that it will come to a stage, Bhavadija Sudradha, it will become firm and very deep rooted inside. Bhakti Ruddhuda Bhavaha. All sinful reactions, karma vasana, everything will be taken out from inside from that bhakti. That is Krishna's opinion about bhakti. That bhakti process is like that. That if we have bhakti, Bhakti is not a simple thing. Bhakti is a very, very interesting thing. And Krishna's mercy is more important there. That when Krishna gives bhakti to someone, that bhakti can take a person to such higher level of spiritual life. It says in the Bhagavadam that bhakti rulpatti vriddhi tava charana jusham. How to remember Krishna's lotus feet continuously without forgetting that. Asadye punya bhajam shri iva jagadam shrimadam sangamenaham. Only through association. That is what it says. Only through association. Otherwise it is not possible. It is very easy to develop bhakti through association, and it is most difficult to develop bhakti on your own. On your own. It is difficult. Twal sango deva bhuyan. That salsangam is so powerful. Krishna speaks about salsangam very strongly in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Whole Srimad Bhagavatam is only salsangam. Nothing but salsangam, isn't it? Take Srimad Bhagavatam from beginning to end. The first Srimad Bhagavatam salsangam, where does it start? It starts with the Shaunagar Rishi and Sudha Goswami. That is salsangam, first salsangam. Isn't it? That's salsangam. So Sudha Goswami arrives in Naimisharanyam. Shaunagar Rishi asks questions and salsangam starts there. Then where else salsangam comes? In the form of Brahma Narada Samvadam. Sri Narada Maharshi and Lord Brahma, there is a salsangam happening there. Is it not? In the Bhagavatam you will see. Salsangam throughout Bhagavatam is salsangam. Nothing but salsangam. Sri Narada Maharshi asking Brahma questions and Brahma talking about Krishna. And then the Chatushloki Bhagavatam, all that history, Brahma Narada Samvadam, it is called. Isn't it? Brahma Narada Samvadam. That is salsangam. Then what do you see again? Vedavyasa Maharshi and Sri Narada Maharshi, there is a samvadam. In the fifth chapter, it begins in the first canto. Vyasa Narada Samvadam, it is called. The discussions between Vedavyasa Maharshi and Sri Narada Maharshi, that is also salsangam. That's also salsangam. Narada Maharshi comes to see Vedavyasa. Vedavyasa raises questions. Sri Narada Maharshi answers the questions. And then told him to compile Srimad Bhagavatam. And Vedavyasa Maharshi wrote Srimad Bhagavatam after that. That is salsangam. If you keep on looking Bhagavatam, Vidura goes to see Maitreya Maharshi. Four cantos in the Bhagavatam is a salsangam between Vidura and Maitreya. Isn't it? If you look third canto, fourth canto, fifth canto, sixth canto. All these are salsangam only. Vidura Maitreya Samvadam is that salsangam in Haridwar between Vidura and Maitreya. Then if you look into Bhagavatam, you will see there, Kunti Devi and others were in the palace in Hastinapur. Krishna comes there, and Krishna and Kunti Devi, there is a salsangam there. That is also salsangam. Kunti Devi raises a lot of questions. Kunti Devi is to the glorification of Krishna. Krishna talks to Kunti Devi. That is salsangam. That is salsangam. Bhishma Vidyamaha is giving up his body. Krishna goes there. There is salsangam there. All the sages arrives there. They've all come there. Why? To participate in the salsangam. So salsangam is the whole essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. Nothing more than that. In addition to all that, you can keep on looking at Bhagavatam. You will see everywhere this salsangam happening. Between talking, somebody talks about Krishna, somebody hear about Krishna. They're discussing about Krishna all the time, in some form or the other. Some form or the other. But the key to that is salsangam. Eventually, what do you see? Uddhava and Krishna, there is a salsangam. Ekadasha skandham is a salsangam between Krishna and Uddhava. Isn't it? Krishna, Uddhava asking questions, Krishna is answering Uddhava, and there it is salsangam. And Krishna says, Gopis had salsangam. Krishna says there at that time. Uddhava asked who salsangam they had. Krishna says, it was my salsangam with Gopis, he says. Satsangam between Gopis and Krishna. 12 long years in Vrindavanam, it is salsangam between Krishna and the Gopis. That is salsangam. What was happening there? Discussion about Krishna. Gopis are always discussing about Krishna. That is salsangam. Whole 10th canto, if you read right up to chapter 47, 48 till Krishna goes back to Mathura, all that discussion going on in Vrindavanam and Mathura and Gokulam about Krishna is salsangam. What else is there? So salsangam is the key according to Srimad Bhagavatam, and the bhakti that comes from salsangam is important, not the bhakti what we manufacture our own understanding of bhakti. That is not accepted. That is not accepted. Kochidrudandi achyuta chindaya kochil hasandi nandandi vadandi alaugigaha nrityandi gayandani shilayandajam bhavandi tushnim parameti nirvradaha. So those devotees who have gone in the path of salsangam, they will reach that state eventually. We'll come to that state eventually. So, here, it says there that in the Bhagavatam also you will see this, that this bhakti, those who have come very far, who have gone very far in that direction, they have gone outside this world. They are not in this world anymore. They have left this world and they have gone. They have gone. Because when you say somebody is in this world means, it's not the physical presence we talk about. Physically we are all here. We all agree that. There's no. But on inside, the consciousness is somewhere else. Consciousness is somewhere else. So they are called Logabahya. Logabahya means they are outside this world. Their body is here, but they have gone elsewhere. They have gone somewhere else. Completely absorbed in Krishna. So that means they are already in the Golokam. They are not here anymore. The body may be here, but they are there in that state. So because of this, he says here, Srinath Maharshi says here, that the one definition he says, asti evam evam. That is the 20th sutram. He says here, asti evam evam. That is there anyone who has gone through these processes and reached the final destination? That was the question. So in answer to that, what you can say is, Kapila Vasudev, when he was talking to Devahuti Devi, there is a discussion about bhakti there, isn't it? In the third canto, you can read there. 29th chapter about bhakti. He says here, Nishevidana nimittena sodharmena mahiyasa kriyayogena shastena nadihimsena nityasha maddishnya dashana sparsha pujasu tabhivandanehi budeshu madbhavanaya sattvena sangamena cha mahadam bahumanina dinana manukambaya maitriyachaivalpadulyeshu yamena neyamena cha adhyalpiganushravanam namasangirtana achame arjavidari sangena nirahamriyaya tatha maddharmano gunairede parisamshubdhama ashaya purushasya anjasa abhyadi shutamatra gunam himam. So, there is a number of things mentioned here. Executing one's life based on dharmam and performing deity worship without expectation of any results from that, and always absorbed in the worship of the deity and seeing the deity, and similarly a respect for all living entities, accepting Krishna's presence in that body, courageous, fully detached to this world, and respects to advanced devotees, and similarly, compassion to those who are unfortunate in this world, and for equal people or who are devotees, friendship, following all the rules and yamam and niyamam, rules controlling of the mind and controlling of the senses, studying Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting the holy name, simplicity, truthfulness, and salsangam, and freedom from false ego. All these things, one who has them and who execute them properly, he will get purified, and simply by hearing about me, they will reach the ultimate goal. Says, who says this? Kapila Muni says to Devahuti Devi in the Bhakti Yogam chapter in the third canto. So, Garga Maharshi, Shandilya Maharshi and Narada Maharshi, we have seen what they had to say. Now, if you look Kapila Vasudev, he has a little bit more to say about it. Kapila Maharshi's opinion is what I've just read about from Bhagavadam. So Kapila Vasudev says, bhakti is not that alone, or this is Kapila Maharshi's view on bhakti. So there are many examples. Bahavo malpadam praptas tvashtrakaya athavadayam. So Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, through salsangam and through cultivation of bhakti in that way, many people have come back to me. And he gave some amazing examples in the Bhagavatam. Who are they? Tvashtra Kayadha Vadaya. Two people Krishna picked. Both demons. Both demons. One, Vritrasura. How in a demonic body he managed to come back to me. Isn't it? Vritrasura's story in the Bhagavatam, in the sixth canto, he was a demon. Vritrasura was a demon. The word itself, Asura, isn't it? Vritrasura. So, Chitrakedu had to accept this body of Vritrasura due to offenses he committed towards Sri Parvati. He got that body. And then eventually he was released from that body. External body is a demon, inside is a devotee. Imagine that state. we are both inside outside demon, so there is no problem. But there he has outside body is demon, inside is a devotee. And that is in Bhagavatam. If you read Vritrasura's story, this is the most interesting thing. Externally he was a demon, a huge demoniac body, and he swallowed many people. The whole army was gone inside the through the mouth inside. Isn't it? Indra went inside, cut the belly and came out from inside. That's how he managed to kill Vritrasura. But Vritrasura's lecture in the battlefield, if you read how he spoke to Indra, you can't find a greater devotee than him. So elevated he was. He says to Indra, if you don't kill me, how will I go back to Krishna? That was his question to Indra. And he's having a in the battlefield. So there you can see that Vritrasura, Krishna says, he came back to me because he was a devotee. You know, although he is an asura, he was a devotee. Similarly, Prahlada. Both Vritrasura and Prahlada are two examples Krishna is very fond of saying always. Why? Because both of them were not devotees strictly in the sense. They didn't go in any parambara. They didn't have any proper training in spiritual life. But inside is so Krishna conscious. Fully Krishna conscious. So result was that, he says here, then Vritra and Prahlada, they had come back to me. Kevalena hi bhavena gopyo gavo nagaha mrigaha e anye mutadiyo nagaha siddha mame yuranjasaha. Gopis were not highly educated, were they? They were not highly educated or anything in spiritual life. They were ordinary people. They were ordinary people. They sold milk and butter and they made their livelihood and lived a simple life in Vrindavanam. That's all. And they have come back to me, Krishna says. All the cows have come back to me because of Salsangam. Gopis have come back through Salsangam. All the cows who were in Krishna's pastimes, whatever we read there, all those cows have come back to Krishna, he says, due to Salsangam. Then even the trees and the plants in Vrindavanam, they came back to me. Krishna says, and even the snakes, they had come back to me. So all of them have come back to me very easily through Salsangam, Krishna says. Not even they were not educated in the Vedic tradition, nor they had performed any Gurukula Vasam. They didn't even stay with their spiritual master and get trained, nor did they perform any austerities or penances. Simply by bhakti, they came back to me. That is Krishna's point of view. That's why Krishna says, this bhakti process, unlike all other processes where you require training, education, everything, bhakti process has no such limitations. So, after saying this, Srinarada Maharshi says, there are so many examples like that in the Bhagavadam, and which is the best example, he says, Yatha Vraja Gobiganam. The finest example, he says, for me, if you ask Srinarada Maharshi, who is the best example for someone became perfect in spiritual life? He says, Yatha Vraja Gobiganam. Just like the Gopis Vrindavanam. He gives so much credentials or credibility to gopis that without any education, without any training, without any initiation, without any performance of austerities or penances, they became the greatest devotees in this world. They became the greatest devotees in this world. So Srinarada Maharshi feels that this bhakti process is such a easy process compared to any other process, and at the same time, Yatha Vraja Gopiganam, like the gopis of Vrindavanam. He says here, why? Because they were good at surrendering. They surrendered to Krishna. Of course, they surrendered because Krishna has accepted them. Therefore, they could surrender in that way. And he mentions here that nobody can beat gopis in remembering Krishna. Nobody can beat them. The sages, they go to the forest and sits in Padmasanam and control their breathing and try to bring Krishna to their heart and try to keep him there. But he escapes. He doesn't stay. He goes away. But gopis, Bhagavatam says there, Yadohani, Yagodohani, Avahanani, Madhanobaleva Prankhenghanarbi, Aridido Okshanam Arjanadom, Gayandi Chainam, Anurakta Diyaha, Ashrukandyaha, Dhanya, Vrajastriyam, Urukrama, Chitayanaha. When Krishna went to Mathura and Krishna and Balaram was wandering through the streets of Mathura, all the women and all the princes and all of them from the royal family, they were all watching Krishna and Balaram going through the street with all the cowherd boys. They came from the village, isn't it? In their eyes, they are city people, city slickers, or whatever you call them. Then Krishna was a village boy, cowherd boy, isn't it? But they were curious to see how they behave in the city. City people expect a lot of, they have their own way, isn't it, of doing things. So Krishna has come from the village and dressed up also in the same way, not to the city standard. And so they were going through the streets, and there is this women who were standing there. They were thinking about Krishna, seeing Krishna's beauty. That is this verse. Ya godohane avahanane madhanopalepam. That how fortunate are those people in Vrindavanam, referring to the gopis. The women in Mathura, they are talking about this. They're saying, how fortunate are they, the gopis in Vrindavanam? They are seeing this form all the time. 24 hours, seeing Krishna. 24 hours. While milking the cows. And then, while pounding the grains. They had to do all the household work. They were ordinary people. They had to do all the household work. Cleaning, sweeping, washing, all kinds of things they had to do. And plus, they are the business also, selling milk and butter. So that means they have to churn the butter out and create, they have to make all the different ingredients for sales, isn't it? So all those activity was their regular function. Regular life was like this. Doing the household life, what were supposed to do, they were doing that. Plus, penghengana arbi arudido okshanam arjanadohum. In the middle of that, just like mothers have got, their children will be there, they'll be crying, they have to look after the children also. Prankhenghanavi arudido okshanam arjanadom. In addition to that, they have to sing the song and put the children to sleep, look after the children. Plus, sweep the floor, clean the place up. And at all these times, gopis were singing about Krishna. Their heart has gone to Krishna. They can't forget Krishna anymore. That stage has come to them. That is why Srimad Bhagavatam, that 10th canto, why is glorified? Because of this remembrance of Krishna is not so strong anywhere else in the Bhagavatam like in the 10th canto. Like the gopis have shown to the world how you can live in this world, do your life in this world, but completely in remembrance of Krishna, without forgetting Krishna. Not only that, without performing any austerity, without performing any penances, not studying any Vedic literature, not going to a spiritual master, not doing anything, they reach the topmost position in the bhakti. They reach the highest state. And it is authenticated here by Sri Narada Maharshi himself saying that, yatha vraja gopi ganam, just like the gopis have done. So, when Narada Maharshi starts talking about bhakti, he cannot stay quiet. Because it is bhakti that makes Narada Maharshi the acharya of bhakti, isn't it? Just like Brahma Sutram was written by Vedavyasa Maharshi for the jnanis. Brahma Sutram was, Vedanta Sutram was written. Similarly, Yoga Sutram was written by Patanjali for the yogis. When Sri Narada Maharshi saw that, for jnanis and the yogis have got those their own authority books, authoritative literature, he thought he should write one for the devotees, and that's how Narada Bhakti Sutram has come. So, when he talks about bhakti, Sri Narada Maharshi gets very excited. And personalities he talks about, yatha vraja gopi ganam. Why bhakti is so practical? Because even while living in this world, whatever work one does, whatever activity one is performing, still it says, Narada Maharshi says there, like the gopis, if you live in this world, you can become spiritually realize the truth in this world while living in this body. So in order to stress that point, Krishna brings the best example, Narada Maharshi brings the example of Gopi. Vraja Gopi Ganam. He says here, Ya Godohani Avahanani Madhanobaleva Prankhenghanarbi Arudido Okshanam Arjanadom Gayandi Chainam Anurakta Diyaha Ashrukandyaha Dhanya Vrajastriya Urukrama Chittayanaham. He says here that because these gopis were so attached to Krishna, when they didn't see Krishna, they used to cry. Every day, they expected Krishna to come to their houses, break their butter pots, steal something and create a lot of problems in the house and go. If they don't do it, they used to get upset. And they used to go and complain to Yashoda Devi. Gopis used to go and complain to Yashoda. There are so many discussions about that in the Bhagavatam also, isn't it? How they complained against Krishna to Yashoda, and Yashoda Devi answering them, and all those pastimes where Krishna's childhood pastimes, particularly childhood pastimes, which was performed in Vrindavanam. Those pastimes. And these gopis, they were always absorbed in that pastimes. Gopis used to write songs about Krishna, and they used to take it to Yashoda Devi. Yashoda Devi used to put them together and study them and sing them in the morning about Krishna. Such was the relationship between the gopis of Vrindavanam, Yashoda Devi and Krishna. Krishna has stolen their heart completely. They had no attachment to their own children, but they were attached to Krishna. So this was the reason. And so when Krishna went through Mathura, the women in Mathura were talking about gopis in this way. Maidam prayasam prashte duraste gokulastriyaha smarandyonga vimukhyandi virahaut kandyavihvalaha. He says here, Krishna was sending Uddhava to see gopis. And Krishna sent Uddhava to Vrindavanam and told Uddhava, you are going to see a special type of devotees. It's a completely a peculiar specimen they are. They are not like the ordinary devotees. They are a peculiar class of devotees. So Krishna warns Uddhava about these gopis before he went there. Maidam prayasam prashte duraste gogulastriyaham. So, smarandyanga vimukhyandi viraha utkandya vihvalaham. That when you go there, when you start seeing these gopis, Krishna is warning to Uddhava, when you see there, you will see that they are in a very, very unusual state of mind. They'll be crying and they'll express their anger towards you when they meet you. They won't be like any other devotee you meet in the normal circumstances. These are very special type of devotees. So Krishna gave an introduction to Uddhava before he sent him to Vrindavanam, so that you don't get completely disturbed when you see their reaction. If you know in the Bhagavatam, the 46th and 47th chapter, where Uddhava comes to talk to gopis, they are very important chapters, the 46th and 47th in the 10th canto. In those canto, you can say practically they are the peak of relationship between gopis and Krishna. So Uddhava comes there to deliver the message from Krishna that Krishna will come very soon to pacify you, and how gopis have reacted to that. If you read that, you will see they were not ordinary personalities. They were really unusual way they received Uddhava, they spoke to Uddhava. And Uddhava, seeing their devotion, after a while, Uddhava was an intelligent person. He started realizing this type of bhakti, how can it happen to anyone? He himself says there. And then he says to Krishna that now, initially Uddhava had come only to stay for a very short time, but practically he stayed there 3 months, seeing this particular situation with the gopis, seeing their bhakti. Uddhava was completely moved. They had no education, they had no austerities and penances, they had no practically any spiritual background. Irrespective of all that, that attachment to Krishna was so deep in their heart that Uddhava asking this question, how did this happen to them? Uddhava himself was so shocked. And that is why he goes back and says to Krishna, evam bhaktya sakala bhuvane nekshita nashrudava. This kind of bhakti what I have seen in Vrindavanam, I have not heard this anywhere else, nor I have seen this anywhere else, he says. Nekshida nashrudhava kim shastraughe. Why to study all this shastram? What for? He says, kimiha tapasaha. Why perform all this ekadashi, austerities, penances, day after day, everything? What for? He says, kimiha tapasa gobigabhyo namostu. He fell down and paid obeisances to the gopis. Uddhava was so moved by seeing that bhakti in the gopis' heart that Uddhava could not resist himself. He started paying obeisances one after the other to every gopi who was present there in Vrindavanam. So that is why it says here that when he returns back to Vrindavanam, sorry, to Mathura, after seeing this, and says like this, then vande nandam vraja strinam padarenam abhishnasha yasam harigadodgidam punadi bhuvanatrayam. This is what he had to say. Vande nandam vraja strinam, that gopis in Vrindavanam, women who are living in Nandavrajam, in the Vrajam, in Vrindavanam. Padarenum abhishnasha, let me take their feet and take the dust from their feet, put it in my head. Why? Yasam harigadod gidam. Because the way they are glorifying about Krishna, they purify the whole creation. Punadi bhuvanatrayam, all the three worlds are purified simply because of their Krishna consciousness. This is how great personalities gopis were. Uddhava was never satisfied in glorifying gopis. When he got back to Mathura, he thanked Krishna for sending him there to see this gopis bhakti, because he has not seen this bhakti any time before anywhere else. You will see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is the bhakti of Kunti Devi, Parikshit Maharaj, Bhishma, Ambarish, Vritrasura, and Akrura, Uddhava, and so on and so forth. Many, many personalities in the Bhagavatam you will see bhakti. But this bhakti of gopis is something very extraordinary, which you don't find in anyone else. It's a completely, without any shastram, without any training, without any austerities or penances, they reach the top position of bhakti. They reach the topmost position of bhakti. And Krishna is saying to Uddhava, the only reason for that is they had satsangam. They had satsangam's power. Power of satsangam, Krishna is talking about. So, yasam harigadod gidam punadibhuvanatrayam. So, this bhakti, that is called parabhakti, and the personification of that is gopis. Personification of that is gopis. Then he says here, tatrabi namahalmya jnana vismruti abhavadaha. After saying this, if you think that gopis did not understand Krishna properly, you may think, oh, Krishna, they were simply attracted to Krishna's body or Krishna's form, and that was their bhakti. If it was in that level, no. He says here, tatrabi na mahalmya jnana vismruti abhavadaham. So it is not correct, he says here, that even though they were ordinary people, they had realized the glories of Krishna, who Krishna is. They have realized it at the end. So therefore, so Parikshit asked this question. In the Bhagavatam you will see this. What happened was, when all these things happened, this discussion between Uddhava and Krishna and Uddhava and the gopis, and Sudeva Goswami kept talking about gopis on such a higher level, Parikshit got this doubt and asked this question to Sudeva Goswami. Why do you put gopis in such a category? Because after all, they never had any education or training. They never had any other austerities. They have not performed anything, penances, nothing. Still you say that they reached the highest state of highest stage in the spiritual life. So Parikshit asked this question. Krishna vidu param kandam nadu brahmadaya amune guna pravaho paramastansam gunadhyam katham. Then they did not realize Krishna as the supreme Brahman. They didn't have that, any realization, isn't it? Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan, no realization they had. Not only that, they were very much absorbed in the body. They were in the bodily concept of life. Very much absorbed in the body. How come they managed to escape from this bodily identity and reach the state of liberation? Liberation means freedom from the three modes of material nature. So when we are, that is what Tasam Gunadhyam Katham, he says. Gunadhyam Katham means how they crossed over the three modes of nature. This is the question. That is an interesting question, because it is the three modes of nature that is keeping us in this body, isn't it? And in the bodily identity. How we can free from this situation, that is liberation. So how did they get there? Tatra abhi, he says here, Krishna viduparam kandam nadu brahmadaya o mune gunapravaho paramam tasam gunadhiyam kadam. Gunapravaho paramam. Gunapravaham means the three modes of material nature is flowing in this world. Everywhere. It's the three modes of nature. And we are in that flow of the modes of nature. Isn't it? This is the way Bhagavatam will explain. Three modes of nature is regularly flowing here. Three modes of nature is everywhere in this world. There is nothing outside the three modes of nature. And we are in these three modes of nature. How did they manage to escape from the three modes of material nature? Gunapravaho paramam. Gunapravaha means this flow of the three modes of material nature. Tasam gunathiyam katham. How they got over this influence of the three modes of nature. And they asked the question, gopis also, only under the modes of nature, they got attracted to Krishna. And how can anyone get liberated like that? Through these modes of nature, through attraction in that way. Because normally we say, through self-realization you get liberated. When you realize you are spirit soul, freedom from the bodily concept of life, you get liberated. But how did they manage to get themselves liberated? So it was then that he answered, saying to him that if you get Krishna as the object, it doesn't matter which way you relate with Krishna, you can get related. Somehow or the other, mind should get absorbed in Krishna. It doesn't matter which way, whichever way it is. If you look in the seventh canto, this question came up in the Rajasuya sacrifice, if you remember. That what happened was that the when Shishubala and Dandavatra got liberated, Yudhishthira Maharaj raised this question to whom? To Sri Narada Maharshi, who arrived there, asking Narada Maharshi, how come that Shishubala and Dandavatra, what have they done in spiritual life? They didn't do anything except that they hated Krishna all the time. And they did everything to upset Krishna. Listen, of course, Krishna doesn't get upset, but they did things which were not acceptable from a devotee's point of view. And they have gone back to spiritual world. And here I am sitting, so Yudhishthira is saying to Krishna, I am still here, nothing has happened to me. What is this? What is the logic in all these things? This was Yudhishthira's question, isn't it? Yudhishthira asked this question because Yudhishthira had to ask this question because he could not understand what's going on here. I mean, Yudhishthira has followed everything. He followed dharmam. He was a devotee. And everything he has done as instructed by Kunti Devi and others, and still Yudhishthira is going through the modes of nature. And Shishubala and Dandavatra comes and they go back to the spiritual world. How can it be justified? This was Yudhishthira's question. It was then that Sri Narada Maharshi told him, sit down, I'll tell you about it, he said. And then he started explaining that it does not matter what your connection with Krishna is. Yudhishthira's, Narada Maharshi is saying to him, the problem what we have is we have no connection with Krishna. You have to have some connection with Krishna, which we have not cultivated in life. So he says there, example he says, Gopya Kamad. Gopis have established a strong relationship with Krishna through their lust, lusty relationship. It started with lust, it turns into love later. Turns into love. When they realized who Krishna is, that he is the soul of all the living entities in this creation, and it is from him everything comes, janmadhyasayadaha, all these realizations Krishna has given to them without they asking for it. And when they started realizing who Krishna is, they started seeing Krishna in a different way. Not in the way initially it started. Relationship started in one way, but ended up in a different way. This is what happened to the gopis, isn't it? So, Gopya Kamad, just out of that kamam. Kamam means desire. Desire for something, some relationship, attachment in some form. That is kamam. Gopya kamad. So kamam was the driving force behind the gopis in their attachment to Krishna. It started in that way. But that kamam became so powerful, Krishna also gave enough encouragement, and in the end, Krishna was attracted by the gopis to such an extent, Krishna gave them such an satsangam. Eventually, that satsangam purified their kamam, lusty desires, and turned into pure love, bhakti. That's how it happened to gopis. So, gopya kama dhayal kamsa. This is one example of gopis. Kamsa, if you read Bhagavatam, you will see how Kamsa was connected to Krishna. Kamsa was always fearful, frightened, isn't it? Frightened. And not only that, Krishna kept him about 12 years in suspense. So that let him get enough frightened that he will not forget me again in life. The day when Devaki and Vasudev got married, that day from the sky the announcement came, isn't it? The eighth child will kill you. Eighth child will kill you. From that day the fear started. Krishna could have come as the first child and killed him and finished the business. No. let him take its own time. From then on, till Krishna came to Mathura after 12 years, isn't it? From birth, 12 years. When Krishna was 12, he killed Kamsa. So these 12 long years, Kamsa had only one thing to meditate upon, Krishna. How fortunate Kamsa is. 12 years strong meditation. Gopya kamad bhayal Kamsa. And what else? At the time, at the last minute, when Krishna arrived in Mathura to meet with Kamsa, when Akrura bought him, you should read in the Bhagavadam how Kamsa was spending his night in the palace. He couldn't get sleep. He will sit on his chair, look if Krishna is at the sitting somewhere at the bottom of the chair, or while walking, asinam samvijasashtan paryadan bunjanam paryadan mahin. While eating, he was thinking, is Krishna there in the food? So, because he has heard that this personality, Krishna, can come from anywhere. From Narada Maharshi, from experience of Hiranyakashipu. He has heard this. Because in previous life, he was Hiranyakashipu, wasn't he? So, Hiranyakashipu story he has heard. Kamsa has heard that story. So, he was always suspicious. Is Krishna anywhere ready to kill me? So, in that fear has grown so strongly inside. So, he says, Asina sammishas tishtan paryadan vinjanam paryadan mahim. While walking, apparently he will walk 2 or 3 yards and then he will turn back and look if Krishna is behind anywhere. One day, his wives, Asti and Prapti, Jarasandha's daughters, they were coming to see him. When they were coming from a long distance, he looked at them and he thought, Krishna and Balaram is coming. To such an extent, the fear has grown inside that they are coming to me. So, like this, so many instances in the Bhagavadam, you will see the fear, how it grew inside Krishna and Kamsa's heart. So, Narada Maharshi is saying there, Gopya Kamad Bhayat Kamsa. Simply that emotion of fear has grown in so strongly that that alone has become the cause of Kamsa's liberation. So, what he says is, it does not matter which way you relate with Krishna, but some relationship should be there. Either you have to fear of Krishna, or you have to have a relationship like the gopis had, or Chaidyadayo Nrubam. Chaidyadayo Nrubam means Shishuvala. Shishuvala, unlike Kamsa, didn't have any fear of Krishna. He just hated Krishna. He didn't want to know anything about him. Every time they spoke about Krishna, he says, I know him. He is just a cowherd boy from that Vrindavanam. What are you talking about him so much? That was a kind of disgusted way he used to speak. In other words, he hated Krishna so much that Shishubala, when he was invited for Rajasuyam, he said, I won't come. If he is coming, I'm not coming, he said. You will say, he, not Krishna. He is coming, I'm not coming. He says, that is how the relationship was. So Sahadeva went to invite him for Rajasuyam, and when his Rajasuyam invitation happened, Rajasuyam was a big thing. What happened at that time? 17 months, 17 days it lasted. So when the evening when Shishubala came, Sahadeva told him clearly, I'll make sure that you don't have to see Krishna anywhere. I'll make arrangements for you to stay in such a way that you don't have to see Krishna anytime. So it was all arranged like that. A particular specific house was allotted to Sahadeva to stay. All the windows were shut. And Sahadeva was living in the house. That evening, Krishna goes and knocks at Shishuvala's door. Shishuvala was staying in that house. Shishuvala opened the window, saw Krishna and closed the window straight away. He couldn't bear that, seeing Krishna anytime. Rajasuyam Prabandham is there. That all these things are explained. What all happened there between Krishna and Shishuvala. So, in spite of the fact that Sahadeva gave this guarantee that he doesn't have to see Krishna, again he had to, and every time he saw Krishna, the hate inside was boiling all the time. It was coming out in a strongly. So, Gopya Kamad Bhayat Kam Saddeshya Chaidyadayo Nrava Sambandho Vrishnaya Snehad Yuyam Bhaktya Vayam Vibho Sambandham Vrishnaya Snehad. All the Vrishnis, Yadavas and Vrishnis, they have developed attachment for Krishna through their family relationship. Through their family relationship. Yuyam Bhaktya Vayam Vibho. Yuyam Bhaktya. You Pandavas, you have Sambandho Vrishnaya Snehad Yuyam. Through Yuyam Sneham. Sneham means love. You Pandavas have got love for him. You have love for him. All Pandavas loved Krishna. Therefore, you reach the perfection in your life. Bhaktyavayam vibho. Sri Narada Maharshi is saying that we sages have developed bhakti for Krishna, and that is our relationship with Krishna. So, whichever way, somehow or the other, important thing is, somehow or the other, there has to have a relationship with Krishna. There has to have a relationship with Krishna. So that is why Krishna is saying, see, Narada Maharshi is saying here that the relationship, it doesn't matter. Jnanam moksha karanam. So if the relationship is there, eventually at some stage, that hate or fear or love or bhakti, whatever we have, when it reaches its perfection, its peak, at that point, Krishna offers you liberation. It doesn't matter how you have come. You have come to me, that's more important. That is Krishna's position. Krishna doesn't bother that only you have come through bhakti, you will get liberation. No. He handed over liberation to Kamsa. He handed over liberation to Hiranyakashipu. And Hiranyaksha, Ravana, so many people got liberation, isn't it? They all did not go to Krishna with bhakti. But in this, any of these emotions, if it is directed towards Krishna, and it becomes its peak, culmination, at that point you will be liberated from this world. This is the law. Narada Maharshi says this to Yudhishthira. And Yudhishthira understood that still I haven't reached that stage. Because Yudhishthira was saying only through love you can approach Krishna. But that is not so. You can approach Krishna in all these different ways. All the different ways. So, okay, they were all very fortunate. Some people loved Krishna and somebody were frightened of Krishna. Somebody were fearful of Krishna. Listen, all this is there in the Bhagavatam. What's our state? Our position also we have to think about it, isn't it? It's mentions like this, that Swayam, when glorifying Kaligalam. Kaligalam, this age of Kali, has got one good quality which other ages don't have. You know that, what that is? Age of Kali only gives you this one particular quality which is not available in Satyayugam, Kritayugam, Tredayugam or Tredayugam or Dwabarayugam. Kritam, Treda, Dwabaram, Kali. Kritayugam, Tredayugam, Dwabarayugam, this one particular quality what we have got in Kaliyugam is not there. What is that? Soyam Kaleya Kalo Jayadi. We will call Jai for Kaliyugam. Why? Yatra sangirtanadye snehadveshanuragaihi prabhurdiviradulai ashravai yogavedaihi. That sneham, love, dvesham, hate, anuragam, all these things we cannot have with Krishna. We cannot have it with Krishna. Because we cannot be a good demon even, if we want to. Isn't it? We cannot be like Ravana, can we? We cannot be like Kamsa either. We cannot be like Hiranyakashipu. So that means we cannot be like Kamsa. None of their process will work for us. All that process also won't work for us. We cannot be like Yatra Snehadveshanuragaihi. Unlike gopis also, we can't be like gopis also. We don't have that attraction also in that way. Prabhrudviradhulai Ashramai Yoga Vedaihi. All these yoga processes, these are all yoga processes. In the Bhagavatam, these are all considered to be yoga processes. By yoga means how you get back to Krishna. That's all yoga means all about. We call Jnana Yogam, Karma Yogam, Bhakti Yogam, Raja Yogam, Dhyana Yogam, all yoga names are given. There are different processes, different sages have given to us. But Ashramai Yoga Vedaihi. But why glory to Kali Yugam? Only in Kali Yugam, people will be extremely in distress all the time. This distress is one thing, is a great asset in Kali Yuga. There is nowhere else, no other age, people were so much in distress like the way we are here. Artim tirtha samastam amrutapadamagu. That this distress, if you can direct it towards Krishna, you can get liberated. This is the conclusion of the devotees. Because this is what we have got now to give to Krishna, distress. All time distress, from beginning to end it is distress. The day we get birth in this body, till we leave this body, all that is fall. We get, without asking, what we get, the only one thing in this world is distress. In every moment, isn't it? That you know, if you are a little bit thoughtful about life, you will recognize this. Otherwise, you will find life is fantastic all the time. But those who are thoughtful, they have concluded that the only thing in abundance, what you get in this life, without asking for, in plenty, is this distress, in some form. Everything you will think things are going nicely, suddenly something will happen. Whole thing goes then. And back to distress again. And so this distress, if it is directed towards Krishna, in other words, when we realize that Krishna is the only shelter and not to give importance to the material life in this world and accepts taking Krishna's shelter more and more, when that happens, amrita padamagu sarvada sarvalogehi hatvam vishvatishandyehi bhakti putyei jabhuyaham, that fill up my bhakti with this distress. Like Kamsa filled his bhakti with fear. Shishubala filled his bhakti with hate. Gopis filled their bhakti with lust and turned into love later. Similarly, Acharyas are telling us, you fill your bhakti in Kali Yugam with your distress. Let distress be there all the time. And with that distress, you can get back to Krishna. This is their opinion about this. And because this is why you can see all the great devotees, if you look in, particularly in Kali Yugam, if you see their life in this world, it's full of distress from beginning to end. Nothing but distress. And because they have gone through their distress, even when so many wonders happen in this world, they can see through it very clearly, it's nothing but Maya's world, Maya's domain working here. So distress is not a bad thing. We think that, oh, what do we say? We say to Krishna, don't give me any trouble anytime. Let this not happen to me. Don't take away my little wealth, what I have. Let me get through in this life. Or don't give me any sickness. At least let me live so long as I live in this world healthy. And don't give any trouble to my family members. Let them all be happy. And let my social life don't get disturbed. Let my job, let me not lose my job. Or whatever. Little things we consider important in this life. We give a lot of value to it, and we say to Krishna, I know you will take care of me, but again I'm reminding you, that's why you don't forget it. So this is how our devotion is, our bhakti is. But the bhakti shastram, the science is telling us, when distress comes in life, in different ways it can come. Distress is something very difficult to explain that, isn't it? It can be your health, you can lose all your wealth, you can feel completely lost in this world in various ways. Isn't anything can happen in life. That is very difficult to say how distress comes, in which form it comes. So therefore, that is why Buddha said that in the beginning, isn't it? When Buddha was questioned, he says, what did he say? Buddha said that yadi ishta viyogam na bhaved. Bimbisara told Buddha, when he was Siddhartha, before he became Buddha, then why do you leave all this palace when there is such a facility here? Why don't you live and enjoy life? He says, yadi ishta viyogam na bhaved, yadi sarvatra anityam na bhaved, janmani janmani kasir yadir na bhaved. This was Buddha's reply to Bimbisara. Buddha says that where if I don't get illness in this body, if it can happen like that, if I don't get sick in this body, yadi janma mrtyu jara na bhaved, if there is no birth, death and disease, if that does not happen, janma mrtyu jara na bhaved, and then he says, yadi ishta viyoga na bhayam na bhaved, if people who are around me, if you can give me a guarantee that they won't leave me one day, they will all be with me all the time. I like to live here in all these things together, but there is no guarantee. So where is the question of any happiness, he asked. Therefore, I have no interest here. This was Buddha's reply to Bimbisara, his father, isn't it? So you can see that devotees also, anyone who has come into spiritual path will realize this at some point or the other in life. If he hasn't realized, that means there's a long way to go still. That there is nothing in this world what we have to struggle for. Really, at the end, it's all bring distress only. At the end, it is all distress in some form or the other. That today you have worked so hard, protect this, protect that, in some way it goes. Some way it goes. So we know what that means, isn't it? So that is why Buddha has realized this, all the great devotees have realized this, and that is why they will say always this one point, that when distress comes, that they don't complain about it. It is through distress they have come to that state. So, and because it is like that, Shri Arpadam Bhujagarajaschakame Tulasya Labdho Abhivakshasi Padam Kilabritya Jushtam Yeswaso Vishna Gradenya Sura Prayasa Stadvadvayam Jadavpada Raja Pravannaha. That in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the first personality itself is Kunti Devi praying for distress. Praying for distress. And she was not saying that when distress comes, the way she puts it to Krishna is, when distress comes, I will naturally remember you. Otherwise, I may forget you. Therefore, I do not say no to distress when distress comes in life. And it is the same principle what you see in the Bhagavatam, whether it is Ambarish Maharaj, Vrutrasura and so many others, they will also mention the same thing about their relationship with Krishna. So in Kali Yugam, this is one of the greatest gift what Krishna has given us, this distress. So just like Kamsa has directed his fear, Shishubala has directed his hate, and gopis have directed their love, lust for Krishna, and eventually escape from this material life. In Kali Yugam, Krishna has given us this distress to be utilized. All devotees have done that. Throughout life you will see this. Their life is all distress. Anybody. They were not all personalities who came here full of pure devotion in the heart. They came here. They had to walk through hell in this world. Whether you take, including Srila Prabhupada's life, if you go through, you will see that. Isn't it? Therefore, because they have gone through that, they know the value, what is this world is worth. They can turn back to this world and tell the world that this is the direction to go. They show us the way, which way to go in this life. That is why Krishna awards these personalities who have gone through distress and tell the world which direction to go. Krishna says, they are not different from me. They are not different from Krishna, because this is what Krishna has got to tell us also, the same thing what the great devotees have got to say. So, Krishna talked to the gopis like this, that when Krishna instructed the gopis to go back to the family members, the gopis had to look after their own children, their husbands were at home, their elder family members were there, the parents and others who are living at home. They had to be cared for. And Krishna says, you have to go and look after them. Krishna says to the gopis that you have to go and look after them. And when they said that, gopis started speaking philosophy to Krishna. That's the first time in the Bhagavatam you will see that gopis, that verse in the Gopiya Gitam, if you take that verse and look at it, you can see gopis are speaking from self-realization state. They are talking to Krishna. They are saying to Krishna, Nakalu gobiganandano bhavan akhila dehinam andaral madrak vikhana sartido vishwaguptaye sakamudeivan satvadam kule. Krishna is telling the gopis, go back home. Why are you staying here? You got children at home. Husbands are there. Parents are there. They also have to be looked after. They all have to be looked after. You have given up all that and come here to dance with me and spend the time in the rasa dance. And they were not willing to go back. So Krishna is saying to the gopis that you must go back. Don't stay here. This is against the dharmam of the Pativrata, of the chaste women who are married. And this is against their dharmam. And Krishna insists, talks all the dharmam to them, to the gopis. After a while, gopis could not bear that anymore, hearing this dharmam. And that is when it came out from inside, in a very natural way it came out. That's when he said, Krishna, they say to Krishna, you are thinking that you are Krishna and we are the gopis in this body. Nakhailu gopiga nandano bhavan. People may say that you are the son of Yashoda Devi, but you are not the son of Yashoda Devi. Then who are you? Akhila dehinam andaral madrikka. Akhila dehinam. In all living entities, present as the soul inside, it's you. And you are telling us to go there. Who are you telling? Who is telling this? He says, who? You are present in everyone. Akhila dehinam andaral ma. And not only andaral as the drik, who is witnessing everything, what's going on in this creation, and you are talking to us in this way. Vikhanasarthido Vishwaguptaye Sakhamudeyivan Satvadam Kulim. And people will say, you have come to this world not on your own request, but Lord Brahma has come to you and prayed to you for the protection of this world. Please come. And we know why you are here. That's how gopis answered. When Krishna heard that reply, Krishna was satisfied, because now gopis have started seeing Krishna in the proper way. That is proper way of seeing Krishna, that he is the soul in everyone present. Akhila dehinam andaralma drukka. Drukka means one who is witnessing everything, all our activities. In the Bhagavad Gita, if you look, you will see, Ishvara sarva bhudanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtadi. What else? Brahmayan sarva bhudani yandra rudhani maya. Just like he is Ishvara, the supreme controller, situated in everyone's heart, arjuna tishtadi. And what else he does? He is playing with this body all the time. Brahmayan sarva bhudani. All living entities in this world are rotating, working, sleeping, eating, doing all kinds of things. Sarva bhudani yantra rudhani maya. Just like under the influence of material energy, maya, we are constantly being moved around, and under maya's control, we are tossed around in this world all the time. And under whose control? Krishna's control. Maya is under Krishna's service, isn't it? So from there you can see that the gopis' realization at that time, gopis are saying to Krishna, you are that person. And who are you telling us to go back to? Why should we go back when we are come in front of that personality who is doing this all? This is, and then Krishna could not answer that question. That is when Gopika Gitam is, and it, when Gopika Gitam, 19 verses in the Bhagavadam, when Gopi spoke that, that's when Krishna reappears from hiding. Krishna was hiding at that time, isn't it? And from that, Krishna comes back again in front of the gopis, and Rasa dance restarts again. So, initially, gopis thought of Krishna as their lover, But later on, they understood who Krishna is. This is what happens to devotees also. Initially, we'll go to Krishna with an understanding. Krishna is in the temple. We'll tell all our distress to Krishna, looking for Krishna's help when we are in trouble. All these kind of relationships goes on for quite a while. Eventually, when a devotee realizes that in everything except but Krishna, nothing else exists in this creation. It's only Krishna who is present in this world. It's Krishna's activities that is going on everywhere, all the time, in everyone's life. When we see that presence of Krishna in everyone, we realize what gopis have said here. Nakali gopiya nandana bhavan, akhila dehinam andaratma drukha. So, he says here, therefore, you can't say against the gopis anything. From this verse, Sri Narada Maharshi is saying to us that gopis had finally proper realization of the truth as Krishna as the absolute truth. If they have realized Krishna as absolute truth, can you say that they are not educated? They got the goal, what more do you need? That is Narada Maharshi's point. Yatha Vrajagopi Gyanam, when he said that, people raised this question, how can you say about the gopis like that? After all, gopis were not trained properly, educated properly, initiated properly, or whatever we want to say. But without all that, they have reached this state. How? And that is what justified in this verse. That's what is justified here. He is saying here, Nakhila Gopiyan Nandano Bhavan, that you are not the son of Yashoda Devi or Nanda Maharaj. Akhila Dehinam Andaral Madrik. To say that boldly, to come from the gopis, an answer like that, shows that gopis had realized the truth. Gopis had realized the truth. Otherwise, they couldn't make that statement. It is not something Sukadeva Goswami was making a poetry there. These are reality. Reality means actually what happened there in Vrindavanam. When gopis, from the middle of the gopis, Krishna disappeared, gopis were in a very miserable state that Krishna has left them and gone away in the middle of the night. And then they sang these famous Gopiya Gitam prayers just to show to us that they have already moved beyond their body and the bodily relationship with Krishna, what they have started with originally, and come to the platform of self-realization already. They were already in the platform of self-realization. Otherwise, they could not have seen Krishna as Akhila Dehinam Andaral Madrik. They could not have seen Krishna as the soul of everybody. That is the proof of that. And that is why Sudeva Goswami says there that the Krishna's position as the absolute truth was known to the gopis by the time they have reached that state of relationship. So it says here, then 23, it says here, tadvihinam jaranam iva. If they had not, gopis had not known the real position of Krishna as the soul of everybody, tad vihinam jaranam iva, their relationship with Krishna would have been simply in the mundane state, isn't it? In the mundane level. Mundane level means just like a man loves a woman or woman loves a man in the material world, how that relationship is, this relationship between Krishna and the gopis would have fallen into that state if this verse was not spoken there. This verse in the Bhagavatam is indicating to us gopis' relationship with Krishna was not on a mundane level. Not at all on a mundane level. It is totally on a spiritual level. Because gopis are seeing Krishna as the soul of everybody. Akhila dehina mandaratma drak. And they are declaring there, you have come here, Brahma has brought you here, invited you to come here to bring Vighana Sartudo Vishwaguptaye for the benefit of this world, Sakhudevan Satudam Kule. For that purpose you have appeared here, and we know that. Gopis are saying this to Krishna. Initially gopis had no knowledge of all these things, but it happened to them later on due to satsangam. Through satsangam this happened. Krishna changed their understanding and they have come to that state. So, normal relationship between man and woman is selfishness, isn't it? Between selfishness. And it is temporary also. And completely man loves a woman for his own selfish interest. Or woman loves a man for her selfish interest. Whatever way it is. So, when Uddhava came to see them, Uddhava in that 47th chapter in the Bhagavatam, you will see this. Gopis are expressing about to Uddhava about the relationship with Krishna. It says here, Nisvam tejandi ganiga akalpam nrupadim prajaha adhita vidyam acharyam hrityajo datta dakshanam khagavidamalam vriksham buktva chadidhayo griham dagdham mrgastadharanyam charyo buktva radam striyam. So, Nisvam tejandi ganiga, when the money runs out, people leave the man. He hasn't got any more money to spend, so everybody leaves him. Agalpam nrupadim prajaham. Then if a king is not able to maintain his subjects, all the subjects will leave him. He says, we don't want you to be the king anymore. We'll throw him out. Adhira vidyama acharyam. When students go to the teacher and they learn from him. Adhira vidyama acharyam. But after the education is over, krityajo datta dakshinam. Then after education is over, they will leave the teacher and they go. And similarly, when somebody comes for performing sacrifice, Ritviks or whatever they call, they come and perform sacrifice. After the sacrifice, what do? You give them dakshina, isn't it? Once they give them dakshina, they take dakshina and then they go. And then you don't bother about them anymore. That is how it is, the relationships in this world. Khagavi dhavalam vriksham. A tree has full of mangoes on that. A lot of birds will come onto that mango tree and they will eat the mangoes. When the mangoes are all finished, they'll go. Then they won't bother about that tree anymore. Next year, when the same mango season comes, they'll come back again to the tree. Khagavidavalam vriksham buktva chadidayo griham. A guest comes to the house. And he will live in the house, so long as he is looked after, he will stay. And after his business is over, he will go. He will not bother to remember about that house anymore. Buktva chathidayo graham dagdham mrgastadharanyam jaro buktva radam striyam. Similarly, when the forest catches fire, when the whole place is in fire, the animals leave the forest. They won't stay in, they have no attachment to the forest anymore. Jaram buktva ratham striyam. Similarly, women or men who are attached to each other, men attached to women or women attached to men, so long as their selfish interests are fulfilled or their selfishness is fulfilled, selfish desires are fulfilled, they will stay. Once their desires are over, then they are not going to stay, they'll go. Jaro buktva ratham striyam. This is the nature of the world. So, gopis are saying to Krishna, gopis are complaining about Krishna, to Uddhava like this. they are saying to Uddhava, Krishna is like this, he belongs to one of these. He says, he was only here because we were of use to him, some benefit to him. He was a selfish person. In other words, gopis' bhakti was like that. Constantly complaining about Krishna. That was their bhakti. Their bhakti was, it is a very special bhakti, it is, which you don't find anywhere else. But here, what you find in the Bhagavatam is, constantly criticizing and complaining against Krishna. Right from the childhood, when the gopis were there, when Krishna was a little boy, from that day onwards, they started criticizing Krishna. But when Krishna was not there, they'll cry. They could not bear that separation. So this is one instance in the Bhagavatam where Krishna has Krishna talks to Uddhava that these are the devotees, how they dealt with, how they spoke about me. Go and see for yourself and sends Uddhava there. Nasteva tasmin tat suga sukhitvam. So a woman who is attached to a man, she will be happy only she is happy. She won't feel the happiness in his happiness. That is a relationship in man-woman relationship. Man or woman, it doesn't matter, whichever way it is. It is only to satisfy one's own happiness that we have all these relationships in this world. In the Brahmarani Upanishad, it speaks very clearly it puts it, that the relationship, all relationships in this world is because we love ourselves very much. That is why we love others. Because we love ourselves in plenty, we love so much that we love others for that, for purpose. Just because I can be happy myself in this world, therefore I have relationship with other people. But there is a difference here. It says here, in the relationship with gopis and Krishna, if you read Bhagavatam, you will notice, gopis initially started in that way, their own happiness, but eventually developed in another way, that their whole happiness was based on Krishna's happiness. That is the difference between gopis' relationship with Krishna and our relationship in this mundane world. So sometimes when they could not go back to Krishna, in their meditation, they eventually gave up their own body. That you will see in the Bhagavatam mention. Napareyeham niravadya samyujam sa sadhukrityam vibhusayusha piva yama bhajan durjaragaiha shrinkhala samrushya dadva pradiyadu sadhunam. This is a famous verse. Na parayeham niravadya samyujam sa sadhukrityam vibhusayusha piva. So Krishna is saying to gopis like this, ya ma bhajan durjaragaiha shrinkhala, what you have done is not possible for ordinary people. What that means is that gopis had their family, isn't it? Their husbands, their children, their grandchildren, or family members, parents, everybody. They have broken all connections with them and come to see Krishna, which was quite an unusual thing to happen in a society like that. It was not acceptable that they could leave all of them and go in the middle of night to go and see Krishna. So he says here, yama bhajan durjarageha shringala samrushya tadva pradiyadu sadhunam. So this, because you have done this, that I cannot repay this debt. That is the love Krishna is recognizing in the heart of the gopis. The love you have shown to us, I cannot repay that, he says here. So, and Krishna wanted to tell this world how gopis' love for Krishna was freedom, for free from selfishness. For free from selfishness. And that is why Krishna says there, ta manmanaska matprana madarte tekta dehiga ye tekta loka dharmascha madarte dan vibharmyaham. Ta manmanaska matprana. Then in the gopis' heart, there was nothing else except me. And in me, also, I was their pranan, their living force. Madarte tekta dehigaha. For the sake of me, they have even given up their bodily comforts and bodily care. They have given up everything. Ye tekta loka dharmascha. Okay, giving up eating, sleeping for Krishna's sake is possible. Isn't it? Many people do that. Just like people fast, people perform different austerities, penances, going on a parikrama, walking long distances, and different austerities people perform for making some advancement in spiritual life, to develop Krishna consciousness, in other words, isn't it? That is fine, Krishna says. But to give up all connection in this world and to run after Krishna is not possible. It's not easy, isn't it? We know that. That to some extent we will accept spiritual life, but when it comes to completely surrendering to Krishna, we will always like to keep something for our own side. That's why Krishna says here, Ye tyakta loka dharmascha madarte tan vibharmeham. Because you have even broken the law of the society, not caring for any more for the benefit of the family life. Because for the women, that was the most important thing, the family life, isn't it? They had their children, they had their husbands, they had their parents, and they were, that unit, family unit was very important for them. And even that, they were willing to give up for Krishna's sake. So Krishna says, how could I repay this debt? Krishna, that is surrender, that is gopis, surrender in the Bhagavatam. So, it's 5 to 5, we'll stop there, and we'll continue next Saturday.